Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I was telling my family yesterday as we were getting ready to leave from California, the most important thing that we have is the presence of God, believing that God is with us. Is that right? God's presence is so powerful to us. It's so precious for us. Hallelujah. Things happen. How many know? Things happen. It's important that you remember who you are in Christ Jesus. Things happen. Hallelujah. This weekend, I was walking by walking on the beach with my grandkids. I mean, it was kind of cold. The air was cold, but the kids wanted to be in the water. I mean, I looked up and down the beach. We were the only ones with kids in the water. And I was thinking, man, probably people are thinking, man, what's wrong with those folks? I didn't think it'd last very long, but they stayed in the water, man. It's cool. It's cold, man. But while we're down in Carlsbad, California, I got a favorite place that I like to eat. It's a fish and chips place that's right on the corner of Carlsbad as the road curves to go out towards the ocean. How many like fish and chips? Anybody here like fish and chips? Man, I like fish and chips. Hallelujah. And right closer there, there's an anchor. You know, all around the beach, you see all sorts of stuff. There was this anchor there, man. And I looked at that, and the words came to me, anchor of your soul. And so that's the title of today's message, anchor of your soul. What is the anchor of your soul? What does the Word of God say is the anchor of your soul? Hope. Hope is the anchor of your soul. How many of you know that? Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to talk a little bit about hope today. We got my fish and chips. Got my granddaughter to try. My grandson to try fish. And he said, man, he goes, wow, next time we come, I'm ordering this. He said, I'm going to order this stuff. Hallelujah. Fish and chips. Fish and chip, man. I love it. Oh, it's good to be back. It was kind of a fast week while we were in California. I know. Where's Brother Sean? There he is. Oh, there he is. I know Sean, man. I know it's got to be rough going back and forth every week. Brother Sean goes back and forth to California almost every week. Isn't that right, Sean? Yeah. And so I know it can be kind of a. But for me, it was a rest. Something I really needed, and glory to God. Why are you rambling on? I don't know. I got no idea. But I'm getting hungry. How many? Hallelujah. How many of God is good? Amen. Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to, I think it's John chapter 8. Glory to God. Yeah, please, if you can, try to make it to the church picnic, and I think we'll have fun. We had fun the last time, I think. It didn't hurt anybody that I know of. Hallelujah. And I'm looking forward to a good time. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Going to open my Bible here. I can read it off the monitors, but I like my Bible. How many know that? Hallelujah. John chapter 8, I'm going to start at verse 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? Hallelujah. This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Isn't it funny? These guys... did not even care about the woman, had no care about her at all. All they wanted to do was trap Jesus into something. And I love Jesus. How many love Jesus? I love it when Jesus is on the scene. Is that right? Whenever Jesus is on the scene, I'm going to tell you something. Things can go a lot different. Is that right? Praise God. He could have told them, well, stone her then. But see, Jesus wasn't into that, was he? Jesus came, he told his disciples later on, I came to seek and to save. Hallelujah. Not to condemn. So he gets down on his knee and he begins writing. And I don't know about you, I know there's a lot of people say, well, he was probably writing their names and what they've done and all this other thing. But I like the thought that it says with his finger, and we're, the Bible says in the Old Testament, when Moses went up on the mount to receive the Ten Commandments, that God wrote the Ten Commandments with his finger, written by the finger of God. So I kind of like the thought that when he began to write in the, it was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. He began to write the Ten Commandments. And I want to tell you, and all these guys are having their rocks locked. And is that right? Locked? Locked and ready? Locked in and ready? All these guys ready to stone this woman. But their real intent was to trap Jesus so that they could say to the people, look, he don't even care about her. Ah, no. Jesus began to write the Ten Commandments. And one by one, starting from the oldest, is that right? How many of you know there's a little bit of wisdom in the older guys? Is that right? Come on. No?
Yes.
Okay, come on. Yeah, thank you, John. Well, come on. Damn it, that's good. A little bit of wisdom in the older guys. Praise God. Hallelujah. They left... from the oldest to the youngest. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. Now I think that he kind of looked around and then put his head down and began to write again. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, everybody say conscience. Conscience went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman, and he said to her, and this, I just love it, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And of course, you guys, anybody that knows this story, Jesus was the only person there that could have said anything to this woman, but was the only one that could condemn her. And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Isn't that good? Sin no more. Go. I love it. I love when Jesus is on the scene, when he speaks to people. I love it. Right after this, he gets into a confrontation with the Jews about him and who he is and who they are. And he tells them, hey, you're your father, the devil, and the things that your father does. I mean, he was a liar from the beginning. And Jesus really goes after them. And I love it, man. I love the confrontation, because sometimes men think they can get something over on God, but you can't. Is that right? He knows. He knows the heart. He knew that as soon as he brought out the Ten Commandments, he knew that these men were operating by the law. The law says you got to stone them. Yeah, okay. You want to walk in the law? Let's walk in the law. You that have no sin, cast the first stone. Praise God. He knew that's where they were at. He knew that their conscience would take over. And all the rocks begin to fall. See, sin causes us to draw back. Is that right? Always has and always will. Sin is not good for you. I mean, and so as soon as he confronted them, they knew that sin that was there. They knew what was going on in their lives, and they left. Oh, I better get out of here. Praise God. You see, Jesus was a promise. How many know that? Jesus was a promise that God had given. So when he was walking around, here is this promise that walks into the temple, and these people come up to him and say, what do you think about this lady? I want to give you a scripture. And I feel like the Lord is wanting, let me just say this. I'm not a teacher, but the Holy Spirit is. How many know that? Anybody that claims to be a teacher, I'm going to say, I hope they claim that it is the Holy Ghost that speaks to them to use what he gives them to teach the body of Christ. Because the Word of God says that he comes to lead you and guide you into all truth. Yeah, we have teachers, we have people that teach and everything. But folks, I'm going to tell you, we're in a day that we better be led by the Spirit. Is that right? Because God's not messing around today. How many know that? If you're coming into church to mess around, I'm going to tell you something. You're very close to the side of the pond, and you're going to slip in sooner or later. Is that okay? God's going to get a hold of you. Because, you know, folks, we're not messing around anymore. How many know that? How many know that God is serious about the lost? Ooh, come on. Ooh, I felt that. He's serious about people that don't know him, that he desires for us to speak to. So, hey, let's go after him. I'm gonna show you a scripture. Jesus was the promise. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 32, verses 1 and 2. That might help me. Behold, I like this. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. What's his name? Jesus. This is the Old Testament prophecy. This is, Isaiah speaking by the Spirit of God. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Princes shall rule in judgment. Who's that? Everybody point to yourself. Yeah, come on, man. It's you. He's talking about you. Yeah, he is. Prophesying about you. Princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock, Jesus, amen. Hallelujah, amen. In a weary land. I'm going to tell you something. When the promise showed up there, this is what this lady experienced. She experienced the Lord. There was a covering for her. Is that right? Oh, man, from the wind, all these men say, nah, 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 nah. Anybody ever done that to you? Nah, nah, nah. Come on, hey, man. Jesus is a covering for you for that. Amen? Hallelujah. As rivers of water in a dry place. Hallelujah. As a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Jesus shows up on the scene. This is who he was to her. See, there was a promise. I don't even think she realized what was happening. I'm sure that when Jesus showed up at the temple that morning, he knew this was going to happen. Because that's just who he was. Glory to God. Jesus, the promise. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Behold, so for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful. Is he wonderful? And his name shall be, and his name also Counselor. Is that right? Counselor. Can I tell you something? If you belong to Jesus and you need something, you need some understanding, you need to figure out what's going on in your life, go to him. He will help you. That's why he sent his Spirit. He has sent his Spirit to help you, to show you, to lead you, to guide you. He's a counselor. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You know, isn't that funny? Jesus, the everlasting Father. You see, you can't separate God the Father, God the Son, the Holy. They are three in one. Is that right? Hallelujah. Oh, there is an order. Know that God is... God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father, beginning. God the Son, in the beginning. And the Holy Spirit, in the beginning. And then, Jesus became flesh and walked among us. Something different. And then he was taken up into heaven, and then he sent his Holy Spirit. God, the promise of the Father, was sent into the world to lead you and guide you, to help you. Amen? Come on. And that in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Everybody say amen for that. Amen. Amen. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. This, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I'll tell you something. We are getting ready. I believe that we're getting ready to see the kingdom of God in the earth like we've never seen it before. I really do. God has prepared it for it. The earth is prepared for the kingdom. Do you know that? How many know that? That's the way it was in the garden. God prepared the earth for the kingdom of God. And I'm going to tell you, it's been all these years. And now in this time, and this, I believe God is bringing things into focus for us so that we might see the kingdom on earth. Amen? Isn't that what he told us to pray? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said to pray that way. Millions of people have been praying that. Amen? Come on. Millions of folks have been praying that. You think God's not hearing? Oh, no, he is hearing. Hallelujah. Jesus was the promise. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Can we put that up? This is Simon Peter writing to us, and what he's going to tell us about is just how important these promises are. This is Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained the like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How do you get grace and peace? Through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied to you, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Do you see that? How many of you know that you've already got everything you need? Do you know that? Well, you might say, well, I need my bills paid. Yeah. Well, I need a car. Well, I need a place to stay. Well, can I tell you this? That according to this word, God has already given you everything you need. Is that cool? That's cool. So all those little things that you need, the thing to do is to go to him. Isn't that right? Sometimes people don't receive things because they don't ask. The Bible says to ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. You got to ask him so that you can receive and you can give him glory for it. Is that cool? I think that's cool. And according to his divine power, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious, what? Promises. Promises. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Escaping the corruption that's in the world through lust, God has given you promises. So that you might be a partaker of the divine nature. God is trying to get his DNA onto you. He's given it to you already, but he's trying to get it to be exposed. Is that okay? Can I say that to you? God is trying to expose who he is in your life. Hallelujah. And I want to just talk to you about the promises. How many of you could right now tell me the best promise that you're holding on to right now? Can I get somebody to tell me one promise that they want from God? Ready? Go. Hey, who? What'd you say?
Family salvation.
Family salvation. Amen. Promise from God. Anybody else? Healing. Anything else? Come on, man.
That my children will inherit everything that God's given.
Come on. Hallelujah.
The second coming.
The second coming of Christ. Come on. Hallelujah.
Eternal life.
Hallelujah. We got anything from the far corner back here? it's okay. Promises. He has given to us exceeding, and the Bible says these are precious promises. Is that correct? Promises. Can I just say what I feel the Lord is saying this morning? Tell them that they need to rehearse my promises back to me. Is that okay?
Yes.
When you begin to speak his promises, something begins to happen. When you begin to open your mouth and speak promises, speak what he has said to you. Speak, hey, you know what? I have the do. One of my favorite ones between my wife and I, have the dew of my youth upon me. Is that okay? That's what Rosie and I, we say that to each other all the time. Hallelujah. I was running up a mountain this weekend. Is that right? My granddaughter was complaining. She was cold. I'm telling you, it was cold out there. And she was, I said, hey, you want to race? I said, let's race up to the next. There was a crosswalk. Let's race up to there. Okay, we go running. I'm running up the mountain. My daughter's telling me, Rebecca's telling me, Dad, take it easy, take it easy. We got a long hike here. Yeah. You know. My granddaughter says, let's go to the sign. Okay. She beat me 3 times out of 4. The last time, I think she was getting tired. I was just getting my run on. Come on, man. Hey, come on, man. You want to run again? No. I tell you, exceeding great and precious promises. Rosie and I have the dew of our youth upon you. You know what? Husbands and wife talk to each other, say things like that. You have the dew of your youth upon you. Do you know that? Hallelujah. I was going underneath one of the freeway signs, and you know what it said? This is what the freeway sign said. It said, road rage causes wrinkles. Hallelujah. I think they might have been talking about cars getting wrinkled. I'm not sure. But when I looked at that side, yeah, okay, I'm going to stay away from that. Amen? It's like the Lord was saying, you remember? Yeah, I do. I remember, Lord. Okay, leave me alone. Hallelujah. We have, that's a promise. You have the dew of your youth upon you. Do you know that? Do you know that the Word of God says that he gives you, he places within you his word so that your youth can be renewed as the eagles. Do you know that? He wants to renew you, continue to strengthen. How many of you know that these bodies that we have, do you know anybody cut themselves and it heals up? Is that right? These bodies are created to last a long, long time. They really are. Hallelujah. Sin is a detriment to anybody. Anybody and anybody. Sin is. It stops the problem. God is saying, you have, check out this scripture. Oh, I don't even know why I got this. Check out this scripture. It says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, listen, is eternal life. When does that start? When you get to heaven? Come on, man. Oh, it starts today. Whenever you believe it, if you'll believe it, that's what it says. Come on. Does the word say that? Yes. Come on, you got to admit, it does say that. Well, yeah, well, Henry, you're a little cracked, but that's okay. I'm all right because I believe eternal life starts the minute you give your heart to the Lord. You're in eternal life, and it starts. And he begins to train you and give you the free milk of the word so they can strengthen you and build you. And somehow we get to a point where we say, okay, I've got enough. Okay, God, I don't want to. I'm going to tell you what, there's things in there that are hidden from us. Do you know that? Pat and I were talking this morning about desolate heritages. Every city, every church has a heritage that God wants to open up to them. Problem is, we quit looking for it. We quit going after it. It's like hallelujah. There's a word, I mean, I was speaking to somebody one time in a Bible study, and this word come out, it was said inscrutable things. Things, and I didn't know what the word meant. I got no idea what it was. And one of the young ladies that was in the Bible study, she goes, what does that mean? I said, got me. Just come out. So we looked it up, and the word inscrutable means hidden things. God is trying to reveal hidden things to us, hidden heritages, hidden things that he has placed in the earth for us, but we're so busy not going after him. Come on, how many of you want to go after God? How many of you want to know what he has for you? I mean, know what he has for you. Everyone in the room has something that God has given to you, and it's a heritage to you, and it's a heritage from the kingdom. It is his heritage to you. Hallelujah. Man. But we're having a trouble seeing them. We can't really see them. And God is today, I believe, he's opening these things up to the body of Christ, to his children. It was like my daughter was, we were having an Easter egg hunt. Sorry about that. For some of you, you say, my Easter eggs, come on, man. We colored, the kids colored eggs, and we went and hid them. And one of the places, there was an Easter egg probably this high. And mom and dad and grandpa and grandma, we could see it. I could see the ends. I could see the egg there. And we're telling my granddaughter, it's right there. I mean, look over there. Look around there. Look around. And she's looking on the bottom. She's looking all around, but not up here. Hidden things, a scrutable thing. It was there all the time, but she just couldn't focus in on it. She just didn't get focused finally. Folks, and I'm going to tell you, God has got things for you. He has placed things in the city for the body of Christ, not just for us, the body of Christ in this city. He has placed things in here, and he is trying to reveal them and open us, and we got no time for God. Oh, the Bible, I'll read it next week. I'll read it tomorrow. Maybe I'll read it. When's the last time you read your Bible? Oh, it's been 2 weeks. I better read it today because I'm going to go to church and the pastor's going to ask. Mm-mm, come on. I want to tell you something. God is trying. God is opening things to you. Get ready. Amen? Come on, get ready. And he says, hey, man, the promises that I've spoken to you, they're real. Can I tell you that? I told you about my house, right? Okay, I'm going to tell you about my house. Hallelujah. You could say, yeah, we heard it already, but I'm going to tell you again. Years ago, the Lord said to me, because I live out in Acres, out there in Elephant Head, and the Lord said to me, I'm going to give you a house. Praise God, man. I went and told Rosie, God just told me he's going to give us a house. She goes, oh, great. Sweet. Whatever. Hey, a few years went by, and I'm looking at the mobile home I live in, and I've got a porch in the back and a small porch. And anyway, it needed painting. And I'm looking at this. Well, it was just a little bit. I've got a bigger porch now, so some of you might be saying, oh, he's got a big porch. I had a smaller porch. And all it was a drip lip. Drip lip. Anybody? Drip lip. All it was, when the rain would come, it would run down the side of the mobile home because there was no lip there, really, except for some shingles barely sticking out. And if the wind was blowing, that water would try to come in. So I put a little lip on the edge of the house, about a foot long, all the way down so that the water could go all the way off and then drop. My drip lip. I'm looking at the drip lip, and it needs painting. And I'm looking at that. I said, Lord, I thought you said you were going to give me a house. Folks, I'm talking about promises, okay? Promises. I thought you were going to give me a house. Lord, come on, man. Are you lying to me or why? Hey, get after God. God said, why should I give you more if you won't take care of what you've paid, if you won't what I've given you already? And I said, oh, God, I wish I would have never asked that question. So it was then, right after that, Rosie and I began to, started working around the house and everything. And now it's still the same mobile home, but we're it looks better. Hallelujah. And one day I was out here praying around this building, and I was in the back there, and the Lord said something to me, this is the house that I promised you. I said, oh my goodness, come on. Oh, I said, this? I can't live here. No, I didn't say that. Praise God. I tell you what, see, sometimes our thoughts, you know, sometimes when God has a promise for you and he gives it to you, we think in this little tiny edge down here where God's got this huge thing he wants to pour into you. Is that okay? So the promises of God they're really important to us. Is that right? That's why the word says they're precious to us. Precious promises. Hallelujah. When God makes a promise, he's not messing around. Is that right? God doesn't mess around with promises. Hallelujah. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 through 19. Hallelujah. The Bible says this, for when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Isn't that cool? God says, look, I'm gonna make a promise to you. But this promise, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put something else on this. I'm going to tell you that I will do what I swear by myself. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. That's cool. Because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply you. Do you know that that blessing, that promise is still on the church today? Do you know that? He will multiply you, and he will. Hallelujah. I will bless you and I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. How many like that word, patiently endured? Come on, man. You guys like that, right? Got to patiently endure for the patient, for the promise of God. Is that correct? You do. You got to patiently endure. He said, after he had patiently, he obtained the promise. For men verily or truly swear by the greater. And an oath for confirmation is to them that are... and is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing, listen to this, more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, is that who we are, right? We are the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel. That word immutability is unchangeable. You guys have heard the mutant Ninja Turtles, right? They changed from people to turtles or whatever, I don't know, somehow. The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things, two unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. Can God lie? He cannot lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. Oh, I love that part. It enters into the veil. The promise, when God makes a promise, he means for his promise. That promise is a good promise. We need to be holding on to the promises of God. Amen? Oh, man, you got to say a little better than that. Amen. You know, we gotta come on. Oh, yeah, come on. I mean, God has intended that we hold to his promises because it's by the promises we obtain what he has promised. Is that okay? So get a hold of the promise and receive it to yourself. Say, I'm going to take this promise and I'm going to walk with it. I'm going to run with it. I'm going to walk while I'm walking. I'm going to say it to myself. I'm going to go over it and I'm going to say it to you, God. Hallelujah. Till I see what I've been promised. Is that okay? Can you do that?
Yes.
Will God get mad at you if you do that? Absolutely not. He will love. He loves to hear what he has said to you. Coming out of your voice, out of your vessel, going right back to him, saying, God, I believe you for this. Hallelujah. It's impossible for him to lie. Let's look at Numbers 23:19. This is the story of Balaam. Just want to throw this up there. This is what the word of God says. God is not a man that he should what? Lie. God does not lie. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. He has said, and shall he not do it? So listen to me, folks. Promises. Find the promises. Look for the promises. Grab them and take them to yourself. Shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? God's not a liar. If he's spoken a promise, he intends it. He intends for you to take hold of it, grab a hold of it, and walk in it. Is that cool? Hallelujah. Let me give you a few promises. These are some of the ones I like. These are some of the ones I rehearse. There's a whole bunch more that I like to rehearse, but I will go over promises. Sometimes when I'm walking, the Lord will say, I'll say, Lord, I'm gonna give you some promises, and I'll start. And it's funny, once you begin to speak some of them, the Holy Spirit begins to quicken and quicken and quicken. Man, that's good. That's good. And you know, you feel like, hey, man, I really have a lot of promises. But folks, we really do. We really have a lot of things that God has promised us. We need to walk in them. Psalm 50, verse 15. I like. Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Is that cool? That's a promise. Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. How many know that we go through days, we have troubles? Is that right? Well, I do. I don't know about you guys. Don't sound like you guys have any problems at all. That's cool, man. I love you guys. I need to be more with you guys. Praise God, man. I'll tell you what. That's what he says. In the time of trouble, I will deliver you. See, God wants to be number one in your life. He wants you to glorify him. Is that cool? Hallelujah. Isaiah 54, verse 13. Check that out. And the Lord and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Is that cool? Amen. If there's anything that I desire is my kids and my grandkids and my great-grandkids and on and on and on to be taught of the Lord. And I will hold to that. And I said, God, that's a promise. Lord, you said this is, that's what you said, Lord. Amen. When my kids were young, my daughter and my son, when they were young, I said, Lord, I'm not letting them out of my house till I know that they know you. Not know about you, but know you. Understand you, understand your spirit. And before both of them left, I mean, they didn't leave at the same time, but before they left, there was an event happened in our lives that they came to me and I realized God was saying, see, there's my promise. They know me. Okay, you can go. Hallelujah. Both of them. And I'm believing that for my grandkids. I don't believe that they can. I believe that if they go into a college, that they will affect that college because of the Spirit of God that dwells in them. I'm not afraid of some professor somewhere speaking to them things that are contrary to God. I'm not afraid of that when I know that they know God. Because they'll listen to that and they go, yeah, okay. You can do what you want, buddy. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I believe my kids know that. Glory to God. Oh, kids get into trouble. How many of you know that? Come on. Yeah. They have problems. It's okay. But if they know the Lord will swoop them right back in. Amen. Come on. So I thank God for these promises. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Another one on the kids. Shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young man shall see visions. Just so you know, I'm still seeing visions. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And this one I speak over the kids of the church. Lord, I thank you that they're going to dream dreams. They're going to see visions. God, you're going to pour your spirit upon our kids. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalm 68:28. This is one I like to use a lot. Hallelujah. Thy God has commanded thy strength. Is that right? Commanded your strength. Just as he commanded the light to shine in the darkness, he commands your strength. Strengthen, O God, that which you have wrought for us. The things that you've done for us, God, strengthen them in us. Is that right? And how do you do it? By taking hold of a promise and walking with it and going with it. You got to hold to the promises of God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53:5. Here's a good promise for you. Is that right? How many like aches and pains? Come on, man. Would you just leave me alone? Come on. But speak these words to it. These are promises of God. It's amazing sometimes how you'll feel things and you use the word of God. Next thing you know, it's clear. It's cleared up and it's gone because the word of God, God has promised these things. Amen. It says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Praise God. I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. And I want to talk to you about faith and patience. How many like faith? How many people of faith? And I wasn't really going to say this today. I wasn't going to bring this up today, but I can feel the Lord prompting me. And I'm going to, and when he began to speak this word to me a couple of months ago, I think it was, I began to say, well, I don't know, God. Nobody talks about this like this. It's kind of weird. And, but he has shown me, he has showed me by scriptures what I'm about to tell you. And some of you probably already know this, but how many of you know that Jesus did not exercise faith? Cool, huh? Everybody says, okay, I'm out of this church. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm going to tell you something. Can I tell you that in heaven, you don't need faith. Is that right? The reality is right there. What do you need faith for? I searched the scriptures. I looked and I looked and I look to see where Jesus might have said, by my faith, or I've done this by faith, or whatever. Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus was operating in a realm that oversees, that goes even higher than what faith is. And some of you are going to say, oh man, all right, here we go. But here, just listen, just hear me out. Faith, the word faith, if you look it up in a concordance, in Strong's concordance, this is what faith is. And I didn't give it to the guy. So faith, the Greek word is P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. Okay, sounds kind of weird, and that's kind of why I would spell it for you. Pistis, that's the word faith in the Greek. And it means, the meaning of it is persuasion and conviction of truth. Okay? When Jesus was on the earth, he didn't have to operate that way because he was the truth. Do you get it? Are you getting what I'm saying to you? I hope you are. I hope you are. Jesus didn't have to exercise truth because he knew everything that he was doing was operating through truth. He didn't have to be persuaded like, oh, he told us. Isn't that right? He told us, hey, have faith in God. Have faith in God. He told us to have faith in God. But did he operate in faith? Come on. He operated from a realm that is different. It is truth. How many of you are convinced already, persuaded that God is who he says he is? How many of you are persuaded that Jesus is who he says he is? I'm going to tell you something. That right there, because it's truth, is a starting position to get those great things into your life. Do you realize that? Just in believing and knowing by faith that he is who he said he was, and that truth is the end of all matters, is that right? When truth comes, that's the position you need to be walking in. Hallelujah. That is the confidence that you'll have when you go to pull up on a scene where there's five people on the side of the road that have been killed. And you walk up and begin to pray for them. They begin to rise up, pray for them, and they rise up, and they rise up. Hallelujah. Because it's a position of truth. It's a position of confidence in who God is in you. Is that okay? Ooh, you got to get this, man. I know it's a lot. I know you're going, oh, man, all right. Hey, take a look yourself. Look for it in the scriptures. See where Jesus operated in faith. You know? And come and let me know your results. Because I went down the concordance, and I looked at every word that was talking about faith, especially the ones in black, highlight or dark, checking to see what Jesus said about his faith. Never spoke about it. Never said anything. What he did say was, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. See, heaven doesn't have to operate by faith. That's why angels are amazed at us, because we operate by faith. They operate by obedience and love. We operate by faith. And they're amazed at it because heaven doesn't know how faith works. How does that work? I'm amazed at you, Anthony, just the way you do things. Why? Because we do it by faith. It's cool. Glory to God. Faith and patience. How many of you like patience? How many of you pray for patience? Anybody pray for patience? Because Lord, give me patience. Lord, give me patience. Hallelujah. How many know what happens when you ask for patience? Come on, man. I'm going to tell you, you pray for patience. How many of your friends have told you, don't pray for patience? Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you this morning, pray for patience. Ask God to give you patience, because it's by patience. By patience. You know what the Word of God said? We obtain the promises by faith and patience, is what it says. So, God, make me a patient person. My wife tells me I'm way too patient. I don't do anything. You're too patient. Now, right, Rose, where you at, babe? Yeah. She'll say, hey, man, we got to do this. And I walk off. Okay. Well, what do you want to do? I don't know. We'll find out. I'm not trying to be, don't be uncaring. Okay. But patient. Pray for patience. I would say pray for patience. You want to grow in Christ? Ask God to make you patient. We're not here to make it easy on ourselves. Is that right? We are here to grow in the things of God. So ask him for it. Say, God, show me how. Show me how to be patient. I'm gonna ask him to put up the word patience. The Greek word is hupomone. It means cheerful endurance. How many of you guys are laughing? Yeah, I got you there. That's what it is. And it's derived from another word, from hupomeno, and it means to stay under and remain. Now I'm going to ask you, what are you staying under and remaining in? What is it? It's his promises. Stay under those promises. Remain in the place where you're saying, God, I'm believing your promises. Your promise said that you're going to bring my child back to me. God, your promise says that my dad's going to be healed. God, your promises. Remain under those promises. Hupomone. The way I would try to remember this word was, my son used to play basketball, and he was getting pretty good. And I said, you know, hey, if you get really good, you can become a star. You can be a basketball guy, and it would be hoops for money. I don't know. Anyway, hupomone, that is the word for patience. Be patient. Be patient. How many of you know if you're patient with God, you've got it all? It's when you go out and you try to do everything on your own power and your own steam, you're going to find yourself coming right back to God and saying, okay, God, I'm going to do it my way. We're going to do it your way, not my. We're going to do it your way, Lord. I'm going to trust you, believe you. Patience. Luke chapter 21, verse 19 says this. Check this out. In your patience, you possess your souls. Do you see what Jesus said these words? In your patience, you possess your souls. How many of you want to possess your souls? And just a quick lesson going on. Know that we are a trifold creation. God has given us a spirit, a soul, and a body. Every man, every woman, you got a spirit, soul, and a body. Until you're born again, your spirit is basically asleep within you. There are some things that are happening in you. Like, but how many of you know when you were young, you stole that candy bar and you felt a little bit bad about it? Some of you never felt bad about it. I'm just kidding. But you realize, this is good. I don't feel bad anymore. Yeah, but you stole it. You know, that feeling bad about what you did that was wrong, that comes out of your spirit, and it is called conscience. It is your conscience convicting you of doing something wrong. So your spirit has these three elements. It's communion, conscience, and intuition. Those are the elements that you were created with in your spirit, which is cool. When you don't know the Lord, you basically operate under conscience. Your soul has your mind, your will, and your emotions in it. That's where they reside. Because your soul has been trained by the body. The body is a place where you learned in health ed, probably when you're in school, that you have five senses. Is that right? Seeing, smelling, touching, tasting, and hearing. Seeing, smelling, touching, tasting, and hearing. Can you guys say that real fast?
Seeing, smelling, touching, hearing.
Seeing, smelling, touching, tasting, and hearing, the five senses. How many of you know we don't have a sixth sense? Anybody here that says, yeah, we do, we got sixth sense? You don't have a sixth sense. That sixth sense that people think, that people don't know the Lord, that sixth sense is actually a working of the spirit that's in them. Man's spirit working. It's crazy. So your soul has been trained by your five senses, by what you see, what you smell, what you hear. That's how your soul has been trained all these years. And you begin to go after what you want with your eyes. What makes you feel good. What tastes good or whatever. When you get born again, God turns your spirit on. It's cool. Isn't that cool? Bink, it comes on. It comes on by Him coming by His Spirit and speaking words. How many of you know that you cannot come to God unless He first draws you? Is that right? He's going to draw you by words. The words of God, the words that have been spoken, truth that's been spoken over, He's going to draw you into His kingdom. And that's where He's going to begin to train you to be a man or a woman of God. He trains you by His Spirit. So when this scripture here says, in your patience, you possess your souls, He is talking about you have your mind, will, and emotions under control of the Spirit that's speaking to you. The Lord says, wait. And you go, I'll wait. How many like waiting on the Lord? Anybody? I am getting to where I love to wait. I'm getting because I know that He's going to speak. Is that cool? Once He begins to speak to you while you're waiting, all of a sudden it becomes a, man, I'm God, I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to wait for you. God, I'm going to wait for you. I will wait for you, Lord. I'm not going to do anything on my own power and my own steam. I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to wait on you, Lord. And can I tell you something? That is a beautiful position to place yourself in when you're waiting on the Lord. People around you are going to say, dude, what are you waiting for? Are you ever going to move? Say, I'm waiting on God. I really am. And when God sees you're waiting for Him, He will begin to flood your spirit with His will for your life. Can I tell you that? Is that cool? Wait on the Lord. Folks, saying this because the body of Christ is to come to age. It's time for us to grow up. It's time for you not to be looking for every man and woman around you as some special guy that got a special gift that will come and speak to you. Well, this is the Lord. I mean, that's not what God's into anymore. God is talking to you. He's saying, look, you find a place in my presence and wait on me and I will speak to you. I will show you where you need to go. I will say things to you that you never thought of. But we're so busy trying to find everybody else. Can I tell you that? Is it okay? I don't want to hurt your feelings, but if you're driving 500 miles to hear some preacher, thank you, that'll work. If you're driving 500 miles to have some preacher speak in your life, you know what? You're missing the whole deal. Get in your closet. Come on. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh, don't get me wrong. Sometimes you have a good word for somebody and everything, but let me tell you something. Those are giftings that every one of you have. Every one of you.
That's right.
Do you hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you this morning? Hallelujah. We are to be independently dependent on Him. Him alone.
Amen.
No one else. Why would you try to go to that guy hoping, sitting in the congregation, I hope he speaks to me. Come on, man. What is that? Go to your closet. He'll speak to you. He really will. Man, I'm hoping I'm not hurting you, but I'm going to tell you something. I can sense God is saying something to you. We need to be real with God. We need to open it up with God. Open your heart to allow Him to speak to you. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 18 and 19. I want to read that. Glory to God. That by two immutable things which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil. Oh, man. I'm not going to get into the end of the veil, because entering into the veil is the part where you're in the presence of God. But he's talking about we have fled to lay hold upon the hope set before us. What's the hope set before us? It is the promise. It is the promise that God has given us. I've given you a promise. Lay hold on it and hope on it. Hallelujah. Do you guys remember anybody? I mean, did anybody in the house buy their wife a hope chest? Did your husband buy you a hope chest? I bought my wife a hope chest. My mom told me that's what I was supposed to do. What's that? Your mom and dad bought you one. Roy, you didn't buy her a hope chest? Come on. No, I'm just kidding. Your mom and dad bought you. My mom told me you got to buy her a hope chest. Okay. okay. So I go down, I get her a hope chest. I go, what's the hope chest for? Mom, I didn't know what it was for. Oh, that's where the fiance puts all her sheets, all her linens in this hope chest, hoping for the day that they get married. I said, oh, okay. I'm going to bring up the word hope. I want you to see this. Hope. The word hope is elpizo. It means to anticipate with pleasure. Is that right? How many of you ever asked somebody, hey, how many of you ever said something, you know what? God says that by his stripes you're healed. Somebody goes, well, I hope so. Anybody ever done that? Come on, man. Do not distinguish that as hope. That's more along the lines of unbelief. Can I tell you that? I hope so. No, man. If you look, hope means to anticipate. Yeah. You ever told a kid, you know, told a kid, hey, we're going to take you to Disneyland. I'm sorry. We're going to take you to Disneyland. We didn't get a chance to get my grandkids to Disneyland. And they get all fired up and because there's a hope going on. And yeah, we're going to go to Disneyland. This is the word, elpizo. It means to hope, but it's not just a, okay. No, man, it's jumping off the ground and say, yeah, that's the kind of hope God is asking you. When you receive his word, he's asking you to go after it that way. Because he says that it is an anchor to the soul. Do you hear me? An anchor. What does an anchor do for you? It's going to hold your boat. Is that right? It's designed to hold your boat in one position. That's what hope does. You remember what patience was? To stand continually under? Sometimes our boat floats away from that thing. Is that right? And you don't want it to. So you're going to have some hope. And you're going to have that hope saying, God, I believe you for it. God, I thank you for it. I believe what you said is going to happen, God. I believe it. So your hope all of a sudden becomes a little bit more than just words. It becomes an attitude. It becomes part of you in a joyful thing before the Lord. And I will tell you, that's what God's looking for. He's looking, and it becomes an anchor to your patience. And then with your patience, you continue to stand under that thing, you're going to find that God's promise begins to come to you. Can I tell you that God wants to prosper you above all? Can I tell you that? Can I tell you that the Word of God says that he wants the nation around you to see who you are? He says that in Deuteronomy. He says, I will prosper you so that the nations around you will look and say, he's got something different, something that I don't have. And that's what God's trying to do for you. If you would, stand. Glory to God. Man, I'm telling you what. What I see out of this sermon, what I see is a bunch of folks running home and say, man, I'm gonna start grabbing those promises and start pulling them out. Just begin to rehearse them with God. God, you said this. God, you said that. This is what. How many of you got a whole notebook full of promises? Amen. How many of you don't have very many promises? I'm going to tell you something. Get a hold of them because they are precious to you. They will take you to where you never thought you'd go. Is that okay? I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord, this morning for your people. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are doing things, Father God, in a different way today. You are working personally with each and every one of us, Father. So, Father, I would speak over your children, Lord. Remind them of your promises. Give them, Father God, a remembrance of what you have said to them. And Lord, quicken them by that word. Let them rejoice over the promises that you have spoken to them, Father. I thank you for it. I praise you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Lord, hallelujah. Show us, Lord, the hidden things that are in our city that belong to us, Lord. Show us those things, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you this morning. Thank you for being here. Glory to God. Shake somebody's hand. Hug them. Hallelujah. Give them a promise. Amen. Praise God.